Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It was Thursday. Today, yeah. It's Friday.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We so excited. We gonna have a ball today. Tomorrow is Saturday.
I mentioned inside. My liver's all twisted up. But you know what I did? I took Deborah, went to the liquor store, I loaded up with alcohol, more specifically vodka, whiskey, beer, tequila, more beer, more vodka, more whiskey, and more beer.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I'm thinking about an actor whose birthday it is. Would you like to try to guess it? Is this actor older than me?
Yes.
Robert Redford.
Joe named that many actors that he thinks are older than you?
That was the first one I could think of.
Robert Redford is in his 80s now, right? I mean, it's fine guess. It's just all you know is someone older than Bulldogs. It's right. Fine. He's alive and older.
By like 30 years. Yeah. Robert De Niro.
You're also guessing a name? No. Redford is 82, by the way.
All right. Almost 30 years.
No, it is not. I don't know if it's his birthday today. That's not the person I'm thinking of.
Gotcha.
This person is in his 70s.
John Voight.
Wait, how long does this go on? I mean, I know I asked, but you guys just name actors until it's right?
At some point, we have to be right.
I don't think Joe will know this name. I'm pretty sure you will.
Okay. Films or TV? More
movies.
Well-known. Movies?
Okay. Movies. Yep. I will tell you this. I think of him for one movie by far above all his other movies, but I don't think the movie I associate him with would be the one his biggest fans associate him with.
Okay. Wouldn't be the Rosanna Arquette phony obit.
Right. Guess. Right.
John Mahoney.
That's a great name. I think he's dead, isn't he?
Probably, yeah.
Frasier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he died last year.
All right. We're not getting very far here.
No,
are we?
I don't know. Just
he was in Annie. He was in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is not anything I could tell you almost anything about.
Okay.
He's been on Broadway. Movies, let's see. I'm not picking the movie that I think of him being in the most. I'm leaving that out. Home Alone 2, Joe? Home Alone 2, got that? Boy, it's not a lot here. Damn.
Yeah, I'm out.
This isn't going well.
No, I don't
know. Clue is the movie for me.
No, I don't have it. I think I know the face. Like, I think if I saw a picture, I think I'm thinking of the same person. But
is he one of the inept burglars in Home Alone
2? I've never seen Home Alone or Home Alone 2.
So it's not Joe Pesci.
It's not Joe Pesci.
Not Joe Pesci. Who's the other guy?
Don't know.
I'm guessing.
It's a guy who steps on a nail.
Yeah, I know right.
Mr. T?
It's going to be that guy.
No, it's definitely not Mr. T.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't know Home Alone 2.
I don't know that guy's name. I'm going to know it. If you say it, I'm going to go, oh, yeah, that's the guy.
He was Long John Silver in Muppet Treasure Island.
I know this guy. Tim Curry.
Right.
Tim Curry. Yes.
You are tough.
Rocky Horror. I should have absolutely had Tim Curry.
Yeah, you might know those.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
those.
I mean, he's
in Haunted Mansion too. He's in a lot of those. Wow.
Dr. Frankenfurter.
Right, of course. Right. Tim Curry. You know, you said Rocky Horror, and I thought of what name came into my head? Like Tim Burton came into my head, the director.
Uh-huh.
And then I went like, that's not absolutely not right. And then I couldn't. The wheels were just grinding. The gears were grinding in here, and I couldn't get to Tim Curry.
That's what that smell was.
Yes.
Grinding gears.
I should have known that.
Yeah, I love Clue. That movie is one of those movies for me where I can just watch it and watch it and watch it. I love everything about that movie. Three different endings. Did that really not catch on?
I don't think so.
You don't see a lot of movies now, to my knowledge, where they did make different endings.
DVDs came with alternate endings for a while there. And I don't know. I say for a while there. Maybe they still do. I just don't know the last time I thought to watch a DVD.
Yeah, with Clue, you would go to the theater and like, is this going to be the one? Maybe you'd already, great idea. Maybe you'd already been to the theater to see it. Then you go back. Is it going to be the same ending?
Yeah.
There were three.
All right.
But I love that cast. I love Howard Hessman. He's in Clue. Madeline Kahn. Flames coming out of her face. Who's that beautiful? Who is Miss Peacock? She's gorgeous. Eileen Brennan. Christopher Lloyd is in Clue.
Mm-hmm.
I love that movie. All right, so it is Tim Curry's birthday. We know you're listening, Tim.
Tim Curry, all right.
Happy birthday.
I went to see
from
Rocky,
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Do you remember Midnight Movies, or are you too young for that?
No, I don't. I remember the Cat's Pajamas.
There used to be, like, the theaters would have, you'd have Midnight Movies. This would be at the Como Park Cinema is where I remember going. I think lots of places did it. And Rocky Horror, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, was a regular thing there, and you'd go to the midnight showing, and I did this, and there's a whole thing you do with the movie. Like there's parts where you throw rolls of toilet paper, and like the audience interacts with the movie, and it's all very, you know, everyone knows their parts and everything, and I went and did that. I mean, I didn't know all the moves or anything, but I was in the theater once for that midnight movies.
Yeah, Cat's Pajamas was on Channel 2.
Right, yeah, that wasn't in the theater.
Barry Lillis was the host of that.
Right.
Daniel Stern is the name of the other Home Alone guy.
Right.
Oh, okay. Daniel Stern, who I believe narrated The Wonder Years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
A great show.
Yep. I remember him, isn't he, he's in Diner.
Okay.
Right, he's the one who has his wife to be take the football quiz. I think I think that's his character.
I think he is the narrator throughout the series, The Wonder Years. Okay,
Gretzky game, come on,
Gretzky game. This is just okay.
The audience will be the judge of that.
What audience?
You guys.
Here's the first question. Take a guess how many goals Yari Curry scored in the playoffs that Wayne Gretzky assisted on. Remember, he also played for LA, Curry.
Curry goals that Gretzky assisted on in the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
That number is going to be 50.
41.
65.
Wow.
Are you not impressed? Yari Curry scored 65 playoff goals that Wayne Gretzky assisted on. 65 playoff goals. How many playoff goals, how many Sabres playoff goals ago is 65 goals for the whole team? Are we back into like 06? Are we before that? I mean, I don't even know. Curry himself, 65 goals that Gretzky assisted on. I love that. Curry scored 92 playoff goals in his career. Gretzky assisting on, what is that? More than two-thirds. No, wait, 106. 92 for Edmonton, 106.
Okay.
You have Curry on Anaheim? He scored a playoff goal for Anaheim.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember that at all.
You have that, Joe? 96-97, scored a playoff goal for the Mighty Ducks.
Wow. No, I did not have that.
Also played for the Avalanche in the playoffs.
Come on.
98. All right. We have 13 players, including Curry, that scored at least 5 playoff goals on which Wayne Gretzky assisted. Curry at 65 is by far the most, okay?
Okay.
By far. Almost triple second place.
All right.
Who else is on that list?
Paul Coffey's on that list.
He is not.
Come on.
No, yes, he is. I got you again. 16. Also with the Kings.
Yeah, right.
We were kind of like Kings East because we had some Edmonton guys. Simpson.
Right.
John Muckler.
Yeah.
Huddy.
Right.
Hannon. Fuhr. How do I not lead with Fuhr?
Simpson's not going to be on this list.
What was the original, what was that, real quickly, that Gretzky number for Curry, 65?
65 playoff goals that Curry scored on which Gretzky assisted.
65 Sabre playoff goals ago was Thomas Vanek against the Islanders in 2007.
Which game?
Game 2. No, game 3.
All right. Round 1. That's awesome.
Okay, so 13 guys, 5 or more goals that Gretzky assisted on. I said Coffey, Glenn Anderson.
Anderson, 23, second place. Coffey's third, 16.
Marty McSorley.
No, didn't score.
Messier's on this list.
10. Did not go to L.A.
Right.
Just like Jackie Robinson.
Didn't go to L.A. Didn't go to L.A. Sat that one out. He did.
Brett Hull had 3. You're not going to guess Brett Hull, right?
No, I wouldn't have. No, I would have forgotten about St.
That
Louis.
One series.
Yeah.
Steve Yzerman, the winning goal, 1-0 game 7. Yzerman back to Detroit today.
Right. Slap shot just inside the blue line under the bar.
Amazing.
Poor John Casey. Was that John Casey?
Oh, it's Fuhr.
It's Fuhr. Okay. Yeah. Wow. All right.
Another Edmonton team that just took on some Edmonton guys, Gretzky and Grant Fuhr.
Fuhr didn't have 5 playoff goals that Gretzky assisted on, nor did Andy Moog. Okay.
There are 4 or 5 guys here who did not play for Edmonton. Just to help you a little bit.
Luke Robitaille.
Luke Robitaille is right. He did not play for Edmonton. And he had 12 playoff goals on which Wayne Gretzky assisted. He also played for the Rangers, and Gretzky would have assisted on a playoff, at least one playoff goal by Robitaille with the Rangers.
I am hearing on Twitter here from someone I consider quite reliable that it was Casey on that Yzerman slap shot.
It's Fuhr. I got $100 that says it was Fuhr.
Wow!
Just look up Bob Cole. I mean, that's a Bob Cole game.
All right.
I got $100. Fuhr goes like this, Bulldog.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just flinches his right arm. Like, I thought about that goal. I thought about the goal many times. Like, is that a bad goal?
Now, absolutely.
In 1997, is that a bad goal? Or 96. I think it's 96. Is that a bad goal?
I don't think so.
It's tough. It's game 7. It's 0-0 into overtime.
Yeah.
It's tough. But it's from the blue line.
Right. All right, one of my favorite Canadian friends here, Greg, is suggesting Esa Tiikkanen.
Yes.
So I'm going to guess Tiikkanen. All right, good job, Greg.
Oilers and Rangers as well.
Right.
He had 15 playoff goals on which Gretzky assisted. Love that.
Casey is the goalie.
He's taking a bet.
Come on, no, he isn't.
I'm looking at the back of his jersey right now on the replay. It says Casey.
That's the year Fuhr wore a Casey jersey in games. Come on, that is not right. Come on, really?
Well, how the tables have turned this week.
That's true. Come on, really?
After the Falcon-Eagle debacle from early in the week.
I'm watching this goal right now.
I now feel triumphant.
This is going to be Gary Thorne, right? I'll settle for it. He's white. That's got to be Casey. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm so sorry. I'm out 100.
I didn't take the bet. I was intimidated by the amount you were willing to wager, and I just, like, stood down.
Oh, that works.
Again, yeah.
That's a poker move. Oh, I'm all in.
Yeah.
And then you just fold.
Yeah, I said, okay, I'm out. I don't...
I'm
scared.
I have thought about that goal so many times, and I've always thought it was Grant Fuhr.
The guy, oh. Guy on Twitter says, pay me my money.
I should. Name a charity. I hate being wrong. This is double overtime.
Wow, 0-0. I mean, holy cow.
And Coffey's on that Red Wing team. The Red Wings, like, they never won. Right? They never won.
Right.
And then they still hadn't won yet, but they... won this game. Oh my gosh. I'm just told. I'm shaken by that. All right. Anyway.
Well, we are nowhere on the 13 here.
Let's go. You got five.
Five?
You said Messier. You got six.
Yeah, I said Messier.
That is not Fuhr.
No. Okay. Other Kings.
The YouTube clip is like 2 minutes long. Just let's see it.
Is Rob Blake on those Kings teams? Yes.
I think he was, but he's not one of the guys.
Oh, damn it.
Gretzky's on the ice, turns it over, neutral zone. Yzerman comes in. Gretzky's the last player to touch the puck. He's way off his line. Like, what's he doing? That's a tough one.
Now it's a bad goal because it wasn't a legendary goalie. Before it was Fuhr, so it wasn't as bad.
He is sort of just... wandering a little bit. It's a nothing play.
He's probably not expecting a shot at all.
Right, right. Scotty Bowman is on the ice. They celebrate. Craig McTavish is on the Blues.
And Craig McTavish is one of the names on this list.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Rangers too, right?
Yeah, right. Rangers,
94
Blues,
Rangers.
Oh.
Okay. But I don't know. He's not on here.
No, okay.
Craig Muni.
No.
Oh my God. Kevin
Another
Lowe.
Saber.
Yeah, right. Kevin Lowe.
No.
Let's pick some more low-scoring, slow-footed Oiler defensemen. Sorry, Craig.
I'm so mad. I hate to end the week like this.
No.
Here are the other names, all right?
Yeah, please, because I'm... We're
Thomas Sandstrom,
here.
11 with L.A.
All right.
That's against the Leafs. Oh, now I'm even worse. And I could change one sports outcome in my life. It's L.A.-Toronto, 93. It would have been Toronto-Montreal for the Cup, and there would never have been anything better than that. Shane Corson, eight goals with the Blues. That's all 96?
Oh, my gosh.
That is hot. Mike Krushelnicki, eight. Leaf.
We'd have been here a while with Mike Krushelnicki,
yep.
I'll tell you that.
Yep. Steve Duchesne, six with L.A.
Barely remember him.
Charlie Huddy.
Huddy, all right.
Five, it's like over 10 years. Also L.A.
Uh-huh.
Holy cow, did they just trade the whole team to L.A.?
Right.
Chris Kontos, five with L.A., all in 89. And Bernie Nichols, same, five with L.A., all in 89. The list gets fun as you get lower. I mean, there's just so many names. How many? It's 50 players.
Wow.
50 players have a playoff goal on which Wayne Gretzky assisted.
Adam Graves.
Probably. But, I mean, I don't know about him yet. I haven't found him yet. Alexei Zhitnik.
Oh, sure, with the Kings. Two. Yeah, right. He's there in 93.
Steve Smith, who was on the Sabre bench this year,
yeah,
had two. McSorley had two. Brian Leetch had two. Lee Fogelin, who was a Sabre for most of his career, 70s.
I don't know most. He was a draft pick and was, I think he played in Edmonton longer than he played here.
Two for Edmonton, Tony Granato, and I think Brett Hull is the most interesting name on that list. He has three goals that Gretzky assisted on. I just am. Fuhr would have been 31 anyway, right? Fuhr was 31.
Yeah.
That I'm going to need the weekend. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
I am going to need it.
Take it. I think they've got Sports Talk Saturday covered tomorrow.
I'm so glad there's no hobby tomorrow because I would spend the whole day on John Casey. I'm so upset. I was so cocky about that. That happens. I mean, that happens.
Yes.
Remind me of this the next time I am that way about someone else saying something.
Eagle beats Falcon 10 out of 10.
Well, you know what? You and I did the impossible. We made it through a whole week without being sick. So there were going to be mistakes. Sal Capaccio next on WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back. Happy Friday. It's Good Friday today. Very loyal listeners will remember a show, might remember a show we did on Good Friday from a certain local gambling establishment many years ago where the subject turned to butter lambs, which was not a thing with which I was familiar. Butter
right.
lambs.
Like, I think you thought I was absolutely just trolling you. I don't, trolling wasn't really a word we used then. I think you thought I was totally kidding around, making this up. And yeah.
Sal, are you familiar with butter lambs?
No idea what that is.
Wow.
So it's a lamb-shaped butter chunk.
Right.
It's a giant piece of butter made into the shape of a lamb.
Shape of a lamb. Yeah, it's basically like a stick of butter. That's the amount of butter it is, maybe a little more than that. And it's in the shape of a lamb. Yeah, like the lamb is a symbolic of Easter, Catholicism. It's emblematic of the season. So, like lamb cakes, my grandmother used to make a coconut lamb cake for Easter. And, like, the butter lamb is a thing. Go to the Broadway Market, and they're going to be really, go to any grocery store right now. Go to Tops or Wegmans, wherever, and you're going to see butter lambs.
I went to Broadway Market last weekend. It was packed, and it's awesome this time of year, right? Oh, I mean, come on. It is just so cool. And I know that there's a big infusion of money coming in for some redevelopment and some renovations, and I can't wait because sometimes I think about what it used to be like back in the day. But I've never recalled seeing any butter lambs, but I can imagine what they look like now that you tell me that.
Yeah, just have it on the table and use it, you know, just someone's got to go in and cut the head off the lamb and go for it.
Yeah. The true meaning of the season.
Right there. Sacrificial butter lamb.
Yes.
Before we do anything, I have to bust on my wife a little bit on the air today, okay? Can I just do this real quick? Because
I was going to, but you should. You can go
okay,
first.
I need to do that.
You stole our thunder.
I was going to bust on her first,
so,
myself.
I have to tell this story because it's eating at me not to tell it. I have to tell somebody this story because I just can't believe it. My mother-in-law is in town. She flew in from Florida yesterday for Easter weekend, you know, to be here, see Max and all of that. And my wife really likes to go to IKEA, and it's up in Burlington. Mm-hmm. And they were planning on, you know, going sometime this weekend. We looked at the weather, said, you know what, it's going to be kind of a crappy day today. So they decided to go up today. They left at 8 this morning, and my wife called me at 10 o'clock standing in front of IKEA. She pulled a Chevy Chase vacation, Wally World. They were closed.
They were closed for Good Friday.
Yes, they were, and we had no idea. She didn't call.
No.
They drove all the way up there, and it took everything I had to say. You are Chevy Chase, and
yeah,
this is Wally World.
Right. I wouldn't have thought that you would need to check that. I mean, I don't know. Okay. I mean, I guess I want to give, you know, you want to bust on her. I want to give her a little bit of slack.
I don't know.
I don't think I would have thought, oh, I got to make sure they're open.
I guess. Maybe bust on, but I do think it's kind of comical that it is just like that, basically.
Whatever mistakes.
And then on the way back, they figured we'll go shopping in the falls, and the bridge traffic was ridiculously bad because people are coming into the United States for the holiday weekend.
Right. Well, that's tough.
I was also at a place in the city today that was busy. The Buffalo Museum of Science. First day of spring break for a lot of kids. My kids are off today.
Yeah, yep.
And we went to see the Lego exhibit there. It's great.
It's amazing.
It's super cool. They have this, it runs through May 5th, I think. Costs like extra money to see it.
Uh-huh.
And I loved it.
But worth it.
Yeah.
Well, Sal, whatever.
And you can't leave once you're in there, right, Mike? They tell you, once you go in, you can't leave even to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Wow. Well,
that was a little harsh.
Whatever
but yes.
shots you need to take at your wife, Sal, she more than made up for it with the idea for you guys to make that Russell Wilson copycat video, which we never talked about on this show.
Oh, my gosh.
That was amazing. I heard you talking about it the next morning with Howard and Jeremy, and The idea I had was to do a copycat of your copycat, except have it be, I didn't know what the whole script was, but my thought was to pull back the camera and have one of my guitars lying in the bed next to me where my wife should be. And he's like, did I do this right? I don't really know what I'm doing here.
But well, that was awesome. it was her idea. But yeah. Her original idea was you should have everybody at WGR, all your media friends do it. And I'm like, I don't think a lot of the guys at WGR would be into doing this. Maybe, but I'll do it. And then when it came time, I'm like, let's go. And she's like, oh, no, I don't really want to. And I said, no, you need to. She's like, why don't you have the dog there in the bed or something laying down? I'm like, no, you need to do this. Like, you said it. So she was a great sport. It went viral. It's got over 50,000 views now, I think, and it's awesome.
Good job.
Here's the conversation we were having earlier, Sal, to get to business. So Okay. All else equal, you can choose for the Bills with the 9th pick the best edge rusher, the best defensive tackle, or the best tight end. Which of those three guys, which of those three positions to get, like if you nail it with this pick, you hit a home run with this pick, which of those three players is the best for this year's Bills? Who helps you the most?
Ooh, you had to throw that little bit in there because this was an easy question until you said this year's Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Because overall, I'm easily taking the edge rusher. A pass rusher impacts the game more than the other two from week 1 through week 16 and throughout the next 4 years. Like that's a big part of what you do and what you need. It's a huge position. But what impacts the Bills the most this year? Boy, excuse me. I think if you give me the terror pass rush, like if you give me the, if like the absolute, this guy is going to be an edge rusher, I think I still pick that. Like you got to get to the quarterback. But I'm not sure that a guy in his rookie year is going to be that guy right away. And I think they kind of need the tight end more.
Should I have put offensive tackle in there too? I could have.
I wouldn't have chosen it anyway.
Okay. The tight end.
I think a tight end might for this year, Mike, but overall, edge rusher is a more important position than out of the three.
Okay, that's how I felt when we started this conversation. I think the tight end might take time. You know, receivers need time. Receivers, mm-hmm. there's a learning curve, I would say, most of the time. And tight end is more like that. So,
I'm looking at it from a Bills roster construct standpoint right now. Right now, the edge rusher isn't going to get as much time because you're going to be behind Jerry and Shaq and Trent Murphy. And, yeah, if he's a great, he could still have a bit of an impact. The defensive tackle, because of the way Sean McDermott rotates guys, I'm looking at the tight end playing a lot and being someone who's going to be on the field and making an impact because right now all you have is Jason Kroom and Tyler Croft really as your tight end. So that's why I think, to me, tight end steps in right now for this team. But overall, all positions being equal – all things being equal, I'd rather have the edge rusher going forward.
Is there any chance that they feel like, because they have Kroom, who's a good pass catcher but needs work on blocking, Croft, who, I mean, I don't really know for sure what he is. He had that one year where, you know, one out of every four passes he caught was a touchdown, which is just weird. And he's never come close to that in any other years he's been in the league. And then they got this this guy that, for lack of a more delicate way to put it, I'll just refer to as a blocking sled, the guy that was a tackle. I wonder if they think they're all set at tight end, Sal.
I don't think so. I just don't think so. I think that they've decided to overhaul the position the minute that last season ended, maybe before that, when we started to see Charles Clay as a healthy scratch towards the end. They cut Charles Clay. He's like the only guy they really released other than Chris Ivory now at running back, mm-hmm. you know, basically saying we're moving on. And I just can't see that because the other part is I don't know if Jake Fisher makes the roster, right? If you're thinking about him as a developmental guy, he's a tight end, he was an offensive tackle, I don't even know if he makes the 53-man roster. So now you're holding the bag with two tight ends, and neither one of them is really the kind of threat that has a defensive coordinator have to kind of game plan a little bit for him.
Hang in there. More with Sal after a short break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Sal Capaccio is on the Wester Hotline with us. His appearance is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? So have you thought about the depth at tight end? I know in your latest mock, you got to Irv Smith, who's many people are considering the third tight end, I guess, as the Bills' second round pick after going receiver at 9. Do I have that right?
That's right. Receiver at 9, Irv Smith at 40.
Okay, right. Have you considered this Sternberger guy that I'm crushing on? Have you done anything on him at all?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he could be a second round pick in this draft. I think a lot of people view him as somebody who's, you know, good enough to be that. 6'4", 250. You know, he's a guy that kind of gives you a little bit of everything. He's not the prolific guy. Nobody is really Hockenson or Fant, I think, from the standpoint of what they can immediately bring to you from a threat catching and then even blocking him. Mm-hmm. Obviously more Hockenson than Fant in that regard. But this is a guy that pretty much does a little bit of everything. He's a good inline blocker. He can block. He's not bad at it at all. He catches the ball consistently. He's going to kind of give you a chance to put him on the field and create matchups, which is what Brian Daboll likes to do. But I don't think he's necessarily overwhelming in any area. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you might get to, boy, Hockenson. Boy, he can really run past people, right? And he can catch the ball. Fant, he can really stretch the field. Irv Smith, I think same thing. You know, he's more of the Fant than he is the Hockenson. This guy, I wouldn't say he would. Oh yeah, he's going to do this so well. But he's a really good blocker, and he can catch the ball really well and run really good routes, and he's smart.
So Sal, if it's not time yet to jump around to this, I can wait. I'm thinking about it though. The Raiders story. So the Raiders story is that, according to Ian Rappaport, the Raiders sent all their scouts home until after the draft. And this might be a team where they do what the Bills did with Whaley and the scouts that he was here with, which is fire them the day after the draft, right? Yeah. What do you know about... So anyway, more on this. So Gil Brandt, who ran the Cowboys, told a story from this. A lot of people were talking about this report, and Gil Brandt told a story about how the Cowboys in his day sometimes would be selective with what information they would share with certain scouts to try to root out leaks.
Mm-hmm.
And so they intentionally told a Cowboy scout bad information to see if it would get in the paper, and it did. And so they kind of knew
right
from that. So I guess just generally, to the extent that you know, Sal, what is the relationship with the scouts and the GM or even McDermott, I think, at this point? Like, would they know what the Bills are planning on doing, or would they not know that? Because I think a lot of fans would be like, really? The scouts don't get – they're not in the room?
I don't know if they plan – if they have that knowledge. Like, I'm not sure what their level of, you know, looking at the board is. But I think when we met with Brandon Bean last week and you guys heard him talk about the mock drafts and things like that, I think that, you know, that just kind of gives you an idea of what – that he trusts his guys, right? They have good relationships. I will tell you, I think from what I've heard, what I've been told, that there's a good working relationship between Bean and his staff and the people who, you know, how they interact at a personal level. You know, I think there's a lot of trust that goes there. That's not the case with everything. I've known somebody from the Texans organization who said when Rick Smith? Was that
mm-hmm. Yes.
The former GM before Brian Gaines took over. He was very, very – he had that line. Like, I'm the GM. You're the scout. I don't really share the information. You just bring it to me, and I kind of go in my bunker and do my thing.
I've got the board in my office. You don't get to see the board. Right.
That's exactly right.
There's a different board in your room. Right.
That's exactly right. And not only that, but they're not going out for beers necessarily after work. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I'm not saying that the Bills are with Brandon Bean, but it's a professional line drawn type of relationship. I'm the boss, you're not. And I think this relationship here in Buffalo is more collaborative. I want to hear what you think. And even Bean said, I will put someone in charge of the Bills, and when they make their pick, I want to know why. You tell me, what am I missing here? What's going on? And I'll use that information. So I don't know what they, like, if they're looking at the board and having any say in it, but I do think that Brandon and Sean trust the people that they have employed to do that enough to take that information collectively. I also think, though, you always, I don't care what organization you are, have to be aware of people who have their own interests in mind, who are looking to further themselves, because scouts are looking to be GMs probably someday, and they're not necessarily tied to this guy. You have to be very careful about who you do share information with.
Right, because some guys might trade information for favors for a better job somewhere. I mean, who knows, right?
That's right.
One of the first tweets I saw attached to this Raiders story this morning was, I think it was Daniel Jeremiah, said some of the effect of, like, his experience was, like, three or four guys would know the board, and that's it. Like, so, like, not, you know, all that, how many scouts do teams have? A dozen?
At least.
Right. Not all of them would have access to the very highest level information within the team as far as what they're thinking.
And let's think about it for a second. Why would they necessarily need it? Their job is to scout players and give the information. Yep. I mean,
Right. What they would be of use for is to have that discussion you were just talking about.
That's exactly
where
right.
You're bouncing ideas off each other. You have more people who are working together on that. But yeah, it's also easy to figure out how the scout could benefit. If the scout reaches out to Rappaport and he's right, you know, like he gives information, maybe it wouldn't be Rappaport as much as it might be like someone local, but you give that information out if you know it and you're right. You know, back to the national reporter, then someday down the line, they're like, and I wonder if this person is a consideration for that job. And no one's ever heard of him before, but that's the trade-off that can happen.
So I think that in the Raiders situation, I understand the general sentiment of we don't want our scouts looking at the board. We don't need them to know. I'm okay with that. Like, that's fine. There's a lot of teams that do that. But I think maybe in this situation, they may have gone overboard, which is, hey, we're not going to see you for 5 days because we don't trust you, right? I mean, there's work to be done, I would think. And yeah, they might need to get in the building and in their office.
Yeah, wouldn't you think you'd still want those guys like at your disposal? Like,
exactly right.
Even if you're not going to show them everything. Yeah.
All right, one more draft question for today. Do you have a receiver of the top half dozen or so receivers, you know, in this draft? Do you have a favorite?
N'Keal Harry. That's I keep saying N'Keal, but it's N'Keal, basically.
Okay.
And I do it all the time, by the way, so I'm trying not to.
Why is he your favorite?
I think he possesses the combination kind of traits that the Bills really need. I'm maybe biased here because I'm looking at it from a Bills standpoint, which is I kind of think they still need that bigger bodied guy who's going to be really good at the catch point, who's going to be excellent with a run after the catch. Like, he's a beast. You don't want to tackle him. He's a monster once he has the ball in his hands. He's a big guy, but he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's 6'3", 216. There are bigger receivers in this draft. There's also smaller receivers in this draft. But to me, from everything I've read about him, obviously I don't know him personally. I haven't talked to him. Pretty much every single report on him says this kid just loves to compete and loves football. He's going to block for you. He's going to run with the ball in his hands. He's not looking to, you know, get out of bounds or down or anything like that. I love everything I read about his makeup at that position.
And that sounds like the kind of guy the Bills would be interested in investing in, right?
That's exactly right.
And
it's not that the other guys aren't, but everything I hear about him is, yeah, you know what? Put him in the slot, and he's going to block his butt off for you.
Right.
Put him outside, he's going to catch the ball, and instead of turning outside of the sideline, he's going to turn inside and look to run somebody over. That's the kind of guy he is.
So it's N'Keal.
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 I believe, yes. I keep saying N'Keal. I believe it's N'Keal is how you say
and
it.
And I confused it further by adding a third possible.
you could be right for all I know.
N'Keal.
Yeah.
N'Keal Harry. All right. I like it.
Here's a little something, a little nugget here. Greg Gabriel, Buffalo native, worked with the Bears and the Giants, I think, for a long time in the league anyway. He's been on all of our shows, I think, a few times.
Former Grand Island resident
right.
or current Grand Island resident?
He was back in town visiting family recently. He just tweeted, the hot name at number three to the Jets right now, if they can't trade down, is Ed Oliver. Been told that's the guy Greg Williams wants on the D-line.
You know what's funny is I've seen Ed Oliver mocked a couple times to the Jets lately, and I hadn't seen that, and I'm wondering, and I've been kind of just kind of low-key looking like, who are these people? Why are they doing this? Like, what's going on here? I've seen that a few times lately, and it's just popped up, which is interesting that he writes that.
Yeah. He squeezes it in there that would be a mistake. I think he thinks that would – I don't know that he doesn't like the player at all or just doesn't like the player that high in the draft. He doesn't elaborate, but Greg's got pretty strong opinions about most things. If you follow him on Twitter, he lets you know what he thinks usually.
Exactly. The Jets are in a really, really good spot. But they got to get it right. Just because they're in a spot doesn't mean they're going to nail it, right? I mean, they can pick a really great football player to add to their team, or they can trade down and probably get a lot of assets that they can use. Because they don't have as many picks this year because of the trade last year that they made. So, you know, they might be able to do something nice here.
Thank you, Sal.
You're welcome, guys.
Have a nice weekend.
You too.
There it is. Have a great Easter. We will see you back here on Monday. Sneaky Joe is next with the Nightcap. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
The night is over, and tomorrow starts the same old thing again. Tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Gentlemen, be free.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.